The Lord. My goodness. Well, the Lord has met with us already this morning, and the singing, every song was just right on target and was a blessing. Well, I'm glad God can fix broken things. That might not mean a whole lot to you if you've never been broken. But the devil broke me into a million pieces. And to be honest with you, there weren't many people who thought I could be put back together again. Myself included. But thank God I serve a God who specializes in doing the impossible. What man cannot do, what man cannot repair, God can and God will, and he can do anything just as easy as he can do another. It don't take extra effort from God to create the worlds. He don't break out in a sweat to save somebody. There's nothing too hard for God. He can do anything. I don't know what you toting this morning that's broke. Maybe a marriage or a relationship, a child. Life can jump the tracks real easy and real fast, and before you know it, you just got a mess on your hands, and seems like the train cars just keep piling one on top of the other, and it gets to the point you don't even know where to start to try to fix things. I can tell you where to start. His name is Jesus. And that's not a generic answer. That's not a religious jargon. No, the reason that I said Jesus is where you need to start, because he is the starting point. He said, I am the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end. And when life is out of control, run to Jesus. Get to him, and he will fix what you had given up on. He'll restore. Bible says he restored. I wasted a lot of time in my Christian life, and I thought to myself for a long time, I thought, how will I can't make up that time that I lost serving the devil. Living for the devil. I can't never get that time back. And I can't get that time back. But I was reading the Word of God not too long ago, and I about had a shouting spell. Do you know that God said, I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm took and stole. In other words, all those things that were lost, all that time that was lost, God said, I can even restore that. Amen. That's huge. That's really big. Because I'm sure I'm not alone this morning in saying we all have, if we look back over our life, we could all testify to the fact that we have some wasted years. Amen. Some years and some days and weeks and months that you wish you could just hit the delete button on and it'd be gone, done away with. You don't have to delete it. You can just give it to Jesus and live for him, and he can restore and even take those bad times. That's what he promised. And he works all things together for good. For our good and for his glory. That's the God we serve. And then that song Jenny sang, How Deep the Father's Love. Well, that one gets me every time. It's Father's Day, and that was such a fitting song. Think about all that God the Father gave up for us and gave to us. What a heavenly Father we have. And he loves you this morning, and he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, and thank God for God the Father. Happy Father's Day again to you. Take your Bibles this morning. And to those outside, happy Father's Day to you. And so glad y'all were able to make it. I seen a parking lot full of people out there. I was wondering if I messed something up and everybody went out there. But we got a good crowd inside and out. And I just want to say thank all of you for coming. Psalm 37. The 37th Psalm. And hold your finger there and then flip over to the book of Jeremiah. We'll read one verse out of Jeremiah and a few verses out of Psalm 37. I love the 37th Psalm. Tremendous Psalm. It starts out good. I'm not preaching on this, but the Bible says in the first verse, while you're turning, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. My, what advice. Don't get so worked up about the evildoers that that's so easy to do. I mean, your life seems like it's just chaotic and hectic and everything's falling apart. And then you look over and see somebody's a drunk or a drug addict or somebody don't care about God at all, and life just seems to be roses and sunshine for them. If we ain't careful, we will look at that and begin questioning God. And that leads to getting bitter toward God. Well, Lord, why are you blessing them? Look at how they live. Look at how they treat you. And look at how I treat you and how I try to live for you. And it's easy to get in a ditch right there. But the psalmist said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In other words, their day is coming. It may look like they're getting by with all their mess and sin, but I promise you, God's judgment grinds slow, but it grinds fine. God's going to take care of those evildoers. You don't have to. That's why the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," saith the Lord. I will repay. You don't have to get them back. I don't have to get them back. God will handle that. And then that verse 3 said, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Goodness, verse 4 is just a good one. Might as well read it too. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's another lie the devil tries to tell people, Christian people. Oh, being a Christian, there's nothing to delight in that. It's just boring. If you get saved, you'll never have another fun day in your life. You'll never be able to go to another party. You'll lose all your friends. That's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. Do you know I go to as many parties as I want to go to? Still. You know I drink as much as I want to. Oh, yeah. I just don't want to no more. When you get saved, God takes that want to away. And God gives you new desires. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. And you want to talk about delight? You want to talk about a high? You want to talk about a real drunk? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. There is not a greater high than you can get on Christ and in Christ. And you can, as verse 4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. My goodness gracious, this is a good psalm. I told you it's a good psalm. I mean, they're all good, but did y'all catch what the verse said? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know that thing you've been praying for a long time? And it ain't come to pass yet. If you will commit your ways and I commit my ways to the Lord, that's a promise right there from God. He will bring it to pass. Keep praying. Stay faithful. Don't give up on God. Don't quit on God. Keep the course. Stay in the battle. And God will see to it. If you commit your ways, if I commit my ways to God, he's going to bring it to pass. That is a promise. And God cannot or will not lie. Amen. And you can trust him. Well, I was going to stop right there, but then, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Look here. Here's a good verse. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There it is again. God's warning us. Don't get your eyes on this world. It don't matter what the man up the street, how much money your neighbor's making, what kind of new cars they driving, how successful they are. Get your eyes off of them and get your eyes on him. And God's going to take care of that. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Did you catch that? They can accumulate all they want to accumulate and keep it for a little while. You say, what's a little while? If they kept it 100 years, whoop-de-doo. We're going to inherit the earth forever. And it's going to be a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth. Are you listening? So we don't need to get tied up with all that. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Okay, go to verse number 23 and we'll get started in the message. Probably won't get done this morning. I can guarantee I won't get done this morning. We'll probably come back here this evening. Psalm 37, verse 23. Look there with me quickly. Very familiar verse. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You should underline that verse. Matter of fact, both of those verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The psalmist said, I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's some powerful verses right there. That's some major promises right there that God give us. I can't tell you how many times I have meditated and run to these verses to draw strength from. Have you ever failed and fail the Lord? I really don't have to ask that out loud. I know the answer. There ain't nobody in this building this morning or out of this building. Those of you out there in the parking lot, we've all failed. We've all fallen short. But ain't you glad, though you've fallen even more than one time, ain't you glad that that does not define you? That's not the last chapter of your life. You are not labeled a failure because you fail. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. The Bible says in another place, a just man falleth seven times, but riseth again. Boy, ain't you glad? God don't just wash his hands of us and say, I'm done with them. I've had it up to here. They failed me for the last time. I'm finished. I'm through. I don't want to hear no more I'm sorrys. I don't want to hear no more forgive me. Oh, ain't you glad that ain't the God we serve? He's long-suffering, patient, tender, caring, and he made this promise here, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth. Listen, ain't you glad this morning that it ain't up to you to hold yourself up? Because it don't depend on me. It don't depend on you to hold ourselves up, because we're going to fall. I'm going to fail you. I'm going to fail you. I promise you. I fail my wife. I fail my children. I fall short as a husband today on Father's Day. I fall short as a father. I have fallen many times with my own family. But I thank God it is not me that's upholding myself, that the God of heaven, my Father, happy Father's Day, Lord, and my Father, my Heavenly Father, is the one who is upholding me. Amen. You ought to take comfort in that. Oh, you ought to take comfort. I take comfort in it. I do. I'm preaching on this subject this morning. A good man is hard to find. Boy, that's a very relevant title and subject in 2020. It's hard to find a good man. They are getting harder to find by the day. And the psalmist give us that. Let me read you this verse out of Jeremiah and at least get the groundwork laid, and we'll come back this evening. But Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. My goodness. You say, I know what I'm going to do in life. I know what I want. I'm going to build my business. I'm going to gain my career. And I've got my life charted out. I'm going to retire at this age. I'm going to make money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do. Do you know that that God is the one who's directing your paths. God is the one who's charting your course. And I'm all for being prudent. And I think a real man, a good man, ought to work. And ought to work honestly. Yeah. The Bible says a man that won't work don't deserve to eat. Right. A man that won't work is worse than an infidel. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. I'm not knocking work at all. I'm just saying, understand this morning that, hey man, it ain't, you don't have to carry all that on your shoulders. There's a God in heaven who already has your life mapped out, and he is the one directing our path. You don't have to come up with some grand strategy about how you're going to fix it all and pay for it all and build it all. No, God already has that worked out. And Jeremiah said, Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And the Bible says in another place, listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Let me say this in passing. Quit trying to figure it all out. Live one day at a time, one decision at a time, and you'll be, I promise you, our stress level will go way down if we'll quit trying to figure it all out. And just live one day at a time for Jesus, and let tomorrow take care of itself. And let God direct you and guide you today. Amen. And a good man is hard to find. You know, there's little is as valuable and important as a good godly man. That's right. Well, listen, what do they call it? A good man, they need to add him to, Brother Jackie, to the endangered species list. Amen. We need some good men. We need some old-fashioned, full of integrity and character and spiritual, good, godly men. Amen. I'm concerned, especially about this generation. I have four daughters, and a good man is hard to find. Are you listening? Amen. Well, in our text verse, Jeremiah reminds us that a man does not know how to direct his own steps. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25 says the same thing. But the psalmist said a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And this good man is so valuable that the Lord delights in the way of that man. Did you hear that? God delights in the way of a good man. God takes note when a man or a woman, and this is not just to men, but God delights in when a man or a woman walks uprightly and in integrity, and God can deem him as a good man. God delights in that. God notices that. Don't go through life thinking, well, nobody cares and nobody sees and I might as well live like the devil because ain't nobody cares about me or cares how I'm living anyway. That's not true. Number one, that's a lie from the devil. Number two, we just read, God delights in you. When nobody's looking at me, God delights in integrity. God delights in a man who will live uprightly and holy. Yeah, God takes note of that. And I promise he ain't the only one. You may think there ain't many people looking, but I promise there's your youngins and mine, they're watching. And they know if we're fake or phony or if we legit and we are good men, which we should be. Amen. Well, the good man is a man directed by God. Like father, you heard this before, hadn't you? Like father, like son. Heard that? Well, that's really scriptural. It's an old saying, and this is what our Heavenly Father wants for us. He wants us to be like Father, like Son. We are the sons of God, and we ought to desire to be like the Father, and God wants us to be like Father, like Son. Amen. And there is a lot of preaching, and reasonably so, on what's wrong with the modern male. I ain't got time to get in right there and preach, but modern day males, there's a lot of preaching to be done right there. It strains my conscience to call them men. That's why I said male. There's a lot of males, but there are very few men. And there's even fewer good men. And there's even, I mean, rare, good, godly men. Amen. Well, we are in desperate need of preaching on what is right and good about godly men. You know, before I dive in and point my finger and scream and holler and preach about how pathetic men are in 2020, I must pause and aim the gun up this way at the pulpits, Preachers have quit preaching what it takes to be a man of integrity. You rarely hear preaching on how men ought to walk in integrity and honesty and in humility. And hardly ever do you hear it being preached on anymore. But it should be. If it's not preached on, why would we expect there to be good, godly men? Amen. You ain't going to get that message from old Smiley Osteen. Joel Osteen ain't gonna preach on what a good, godly man ought to be. He ain't going to do that. And none of the rest of that prosperity crowd are going to do that. You know why? Because it goes against the grain. It's confrontational. Let me say this and move on. If we don't get back to preaching, and by God's grace, I'm going to, popular or not, in style or not, in season or not, I care about my children and I care about your children. And if they don't, listen, if they don't hear it from the schoolhouse, if they don't hear it from your house, if you bring them to church, they're going to hear it at God's house, that God created men. God created women. God didn't make little boys to be little girls. God didn't make little girls to be confused whether or not they're a little boy or a little girl. No, my friend, God made male and female and nothing in between. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't get into that. They got classes for that at school. That's the problem. Amen. Confusing our children, pushing this mess on their children, making cartoons and all kind of stuff, just desensitizing, put it in their little brain as children where they grow up, and it's just normal. And it's absolutely abnormal. Right. It's an abomination.
Amen. Amen.
You say, oh, preacher, you're not for transgender. No, I ain't for transgender. There ain't no such thing. There ain't no such thing as a transgender. You say, well, I identify. I don't care how you identify. You identify as a nut is what you are. Read the Word of God. Read the Bible, man. Hey, listen, and it's sad. Listen, let me tell you, you ought to do the research. I listened to a man at Prager University. Listen to this now. This guy... This man, this old man, he, in the early 80s, 1980s, for some of y'all youngins, in the early 1980s, before you heard of anything like this stuff we're seeing every day, and this man's in his 70s now, but he had... one of those operations to where they made him become a woman. In the early 80s, listen to me now. And he was giving a speech, and he deals with young kids all over the country by the thousands. He said, why don't y'all take it from me, somebody who's been having to live with the consequences of what I've done over 50 years ago. He's been living with the consequences of having that done to his body and them manipulating him and talking him into becoming a female. To live that life for a while. And do you know what he said? He said, you want to know what I am? He said, I am a man, but I identified for years as a woman. And he said the reason was because when I was a little boy, 4 years old, my uncle raped me. And I told my mom and daddy, and they called me a liar, and they told me I was lying, and for nobody to believe. And he said 98% of the young people he talks to and deals with who cannot... who don't know how to identify, or are they leaning toward being a feminine, or girls are leaning toward being masculine and male. He said 98% is linked directly to being abused. And we wonder why our children are what they're supposed to be. I'm going to tell you, there's a hot, deep part of hell for people who would do mess like that to children.
Amen.
Amen. You say, but that's out in California, and that's way off another. You would be amazed at how close to your house This message going on right here in Packlet. Just open your eyes and look around.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. And I ain't knocking the school system, but I ain't about to let the school teach my children about their anatomy and how they're supposed to be and identity. They're not. That ain't their place in my book. They'll learn that from God's house and from their parents.
Amen.
They ought to learn, hey, men, we ought to invest in our children and teach boys how to be men. And you mamas ought to teach girls how to be ladies. And we've got away from that. And that's why we've got a generation of young and trying to act like men and little boys growing up and trying to be so feminine and act like women. And it's an abomination before God. And if you don't think the devil is pushing that mess, oh, he is. That's why this verse says this. Hey, listen, man, the Bible says that, where's that verse? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but then there is a way of death. And the verse we just read says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Are you listening? Man left to himself, apart from God, will get into all kind of lasciviousness and all kind of mischief. No, God has a plan. God has a way, and he put it in his King James Bible, and that is for young boys to grow up under the roof and walking in the shadow of their daddy, learning how to be a man. You don't know why there's so many shootings and why this world's going half crazy in America and why there's so many school shootings and why there's so many gangs and all the stuff that's going on. And people, I detest the fact of this racial stuff going on, but and they talk about Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter. Listen, all lives matter. All lives matter. But you may tell you, hey, listen, and I heard a black preacher say this. He said if they was really worried about black lives, they wouldn't be taking one that was killed by a white man that everybody agrees on and not opening their mouth at the 40 or 50 killed a week in Chicago, black on black crime. If one matters, they all matter. And if people want to get upset about one killing another because of the skin color, you tell me who's been racist. I'm saying man has a way of thinking and it's perverse and crooked, and God's saying you can't. Listen, the Bible says we can't trust our own heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. You say, well, if I know my heart. You don't. But God does. And God give us a roadmap. God give us a guidebook. And this is how and the standard that we should raise our children according to. But it's going to take men. You know why our country's in the mess that it is? Listen, you can throw more money at it. The government can throw more money, and they say to fund the police and this and that. All the mess that you're hearing about, none of it ain't going to work. None of it. None of it ain't going to work. I heard Denzel Washington say this. How many of y'all heard of him? Denzel Washington said this. He's a black, probably one of the best actors living. He said this. He said, when I grew up in the projects, poor, me and two of my best friends, actually three of his best friends, all got convicted and served 20 to 25 years. He was the only one who didn't out of his clan. He said, you want to blame that on the system? Blame it on the system, but you can't legitimately blame the system. He said, what was the difference? He said, I had a daddy. Amen. I had a daddy in my home. They didn't. All three of them boys. And listen, when they shoved out on the streets and their mama ain't there, she's having to work two or three jobs just to feed them, and they ain't got a daddy in the home. It's children raising children and gangs raising children, and God did not intend it to be that way. God intended for there to be a mama and a daddy raising them children.
Hey.
And we've got so far away. That's what's wrong in America.
Right.
And America ain't going to get fixed no matter how much money gets thrown at it, no matter how many new ideas come out, until the home is restored. Amen. That's just biblical. Amen. Well, I must hurry. Whew. Our boys, our girls, our women, and even our men need some direction from the Bible on what it really means to be a good man. You say, well, why would girls need to know what the Bible says about being a good man? I mean, they're girls. I mean, you talking about what it takes to be a good man. My girls, y'all listen, I want my girls to know how to separate the pansies and those lazy sots that won't work and that has no character and that don't know nothing about God. I want my children, my daughters, to know what a good man is, what a good godly man is, so they can weed the rest of that mess out. Amen. You know how many young people's lives get messed up right from the start because they don't know what to look for in a man? Oh, well, he looks good. Well, get that a year or two. He'll be bald and fat like the rest of us. Wrinkled. Better find you a good, godly man. Girls, I'm telling you. And you young fellas, well, I ain't going to talk about women today, but I'll just say, stuff happens to them too. Now, mine... nothing happened to her. She's just perfect. I wasn't talking about her. I got to go home with her today. Hey, man, that's right. A good man is not a wimp. He's a warrior. He's willing to go to battle. He ain't going to tuck, tail, and run at every little thing that comes out of the corner and says boo. No, a real man will step up and be ready to battle for the right cause. Amen. Well, he's not a patsy. He's powerful. He's not a taker. He's a giver. He's not lazy. He's a laborer. He's not made by words, but by works. He's not scared. He's strong. A real man is not characterized by how much money he makes, but he does what it takes to provide for his family. A real man is not defined by how many fish he has caught, how many deer he shot, how far he can throw a football, or how fast he can run, or even how much he can lift. A good man knows what he believes. He knows to whom he is devoted. He knows where his priorities are. And he knows how to find joy in his God-given blessings. He teaches his children to be thankful for the little things in life. He is a spiritual leader, a physical servant, a natural strength, and a true hero to his family. That's what a real man is. Amen. A good man needs love, respect, passion, devotion, risk, reward, challenge, trials, companionship, and responsibility. A good man is adorned by a godly family. His wife finds in him strength and security, safety, and companionship. His daughters find in him a lesson for a mate, a love at all times. Not so secret admirer, and a lifelong force for stability. Hey, that's what our children need. When they see you, Daddy or Papa, you know what they need to see? Stability. Because everything else in this world is shaking. There's nothing stable on planet Earth these days. And if you don't give your child nothing else, and if I don't give my children nothing else, I at least can give them stability. A rock, something they know ain't going to change with every wind of doctrine. Amen. Well, his sons find in him a friend. See, I wrote this for you other ones. I don't have the privilege of having a son, but for those of you who do, his sons find in him a friend like no other. a source of wisdom and advice beyond value, and an example to follow on what it means to be a man that is greater than any textbook that has ever been written. A daddy can teach a son way more than any book and all books put together.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Spend time with your children, daddy, mama. A good man is hard to find, but when you find him, you will find that he is a teacher, a coach, a disciplinarian, a loving man, a companion, a worker, a true friend, an example, a witness, and above all else, he's a Christian. That's what a good man is. He is a soldier, a captain. He's a servant and a supervisor. He is he's sensitive and strong. A good man has gracious eyes, strong hands, a stern voice, and a caring heart. He is a protector to his wife, a provider for his children, and his pleasure is in the Lord, who he serves with his whole heart. Yes, a good man is hard to find. But what a valuable, valuable asset you get when you do find him. A good man works with purpose, amen, walks in principle, makes warfare with passion. He understands that hell and all of its devils are after his family, and he passionately attacks in the arena of prayer and service to God.
Amen.
A good man that has a prayer life. His will is at peace with God's will. His steps are directed by the Lord. Yes. His wisdom is in the power of God. He doesn't have to. Within himself to go on his own, to go off his own whims, but he needs to hear the voice of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit before he moves. A good man will do that. All right, that's the introduction. We'll get to the rest this evening. Let's stand together. Our Father, we love you. Happy Father's Day to you, Lord. Father, hallowed be your name. Lord, you're high and holy. There's none like unto you, none we could compare you to. You're the greatest Father I ever could have, Lord. I thank you for being a loving Father. Lord, a wonderful, wonderful Father and God. Lord, I pray for every home represented here today at Morningstar, God. I plead with you, Lord, begin in me, Lord, but start with me. Help me to be a better Father, Lord. Help me, God, not to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge you, Lord, and you direct our paths. God, I pray you'd help me, Lord, when nobody's looking, to be a man of integrity, character. Oh, God, that my children would be able to look to me as stability, as spiritual, loving you, Lord. God, help me to be faithful, Lord, to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God, I pray for these other families, Lord. I beg of you, God, would you please give us some men, some good men, good godly men, good godly fathers, husbands. Lord, forgive me where I failed. You know I failed miserably. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help me to live better. God, to live for you. Lord, to take my hands off, God, and let you drive this ship, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, God, if there's any lost today, if there's a lost father, a lost mother, son or daughter, God, I pray this will be the day they get saved. Lord, draw us all closer to you. Help us come back this evening, Lord, ready to worship. I pray you give all of us a good day, Lord, for those that have a living father. I pray, Lord God, that they wouldn't take this time for granted. But Lord, help them to go see their daddy. Lord, to spend time with their daddy. God, to call them. And Lord, for those of us that don't, God, I pray that you would minister those, Lord, that this day brings heartache and hardship to. But Lord, more than anything, God, we always have a Father in you. And I pray you'd bless us. Lord, help us to spend time with you today. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.